Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our spoiler-free review for Peacemaker Season 2. Best dimension ever. Hello, I'm J-Law, but you can call me Justin. And if you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast covering the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectibles, gaming, and all things Geekcentric. Joining me today for this superhero-sized, spoiler-free review, I got two peacemakers, Nate Shelton, Darcy Hudson. Ooh. How you both doing?
Dude, I'm doing good. I you know what? I ate a big bowl of spaghetti, and now I'm ready to talk about this show.
You're noodling. You've been noodling.
I was noodling along, but you know, I'm talking to you from far away. I'm in the woods. I'm in Muskoka, but I made a vow of peace, and I don't care how many people I have to kill to get it. Okay.
Who did you kill at the cottage? Aren't you with family? Now I'm concerned for your family.
Well, vow of peace could also be like, you know, he joined a cult or something. I don't know.
If he's up north, yeah, that's also more it's a possibility there too. Jeez.
It was a bowl of spaghetti. Again, I killed a bowl of spaghetti as well.
Okay, carb loading for a podcast is a first, I think. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I could do that. I feel like I would fall asleep at the mic.
If I'm just not on the episode halfway through, that's what happened. Okay.
Nate, wake up. Nate, or we lost internet connection because you're in buttfuck nowhere. Darcy, you doing well, buddy?
Oh yeah, I'm good. Yeah? Excited to talk about this season.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we have Peacemaker back in our life. This show definitely reminds me of how much fun I had with season one and how happy I am that season two is here. Before we get to talking about season two, I did want to ask you guys a question. As I alluded to in my little intro there with the quote, you know, there's some dimensional stuff that's happening and I'll read the synopsis and it'll lay a little more groundwork. And I wanted to ask you guys, if there was another version of you in another dimension, what are they doing that you're not doing?
Ooh.
Like, how are they different from you?
I mean, I always got to think there's a Darcy out there who never started smoking weed. So I'm sure that exists.
I don't know if I want to meet that Darcy,
further. Someone who went even further down the route of partying all the time. So
I
can see the two extremes are all I can picture, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I also think it maybe it really comes down to chill and not chill. That Darcy is definitely not chill. You know what I mean?
If I don't have weed, I might be a bit uptight. So yeah, I don't know if I want to hang out with myself if I'm not smoking.
I think the other Nate, I think he's a vegan. He's definitely a vegan and he's working out right now. He's actually doing some deadlifts and he's pumping iron and he's doing all that stuff. He's got abs.
Sure.
You know? So I just have
one.
Does
he still watch nerdy stuff though? Like, is he still into all the geeky stuff?
Not at all. No.
He went like, he's like a Nega Nate.
Yeah. He loves
Bizarro
guns.
Nate. He's got his life together. He's fit. Yeah. He doesn't waste his time playing video games or watching everything.
Eats
I don't know, man. Again, I don't know if I want to meet
bed.
That Nate. Yeah, exactly.
No,
right?
Listen.
He goes to bed on time, wakes up at 4 a.m, has a workout regimen, hits a smoothie, hits work.
But he has a lot of money, Justin.
Yeah,
so like.
Exactly. and so that's sort of where I feel like the other dimensional version of myself is we all like to think of success differently, right? So I think there is a version of me probably in another dimension that is probably very successful at whatever they do. Does that mean they're happy though? I don't know. Because I feel like I'm the happy Justin over here. With doing what I do and, you know, I find success in different ways, but maybe that Justin out there that's, you know, got lots of money, you know, but are they really happy? I don't know. Hopefully we'll meet one day and we can find out. And that's that, you know? Well, look, I appreciate you guys humoring me with that question. I just thought it would be a fun question to kind of kick things off. But let's get into talking about season two. Peacemaker discovers an alternate world where life is everything he wishes it could be. But this discovery also forces him to face his traumatic past and take the future into his own hands. John Cena, Daniel Brooks, Jennifer Holland, Freddie Stroma, Steve Uggy, and Robert Patrick return for season two with new cast members, including Frank Grillo, David Denman, Sol Rodriguez, and Tim Meadows. James Gunn wrote all 8 episodes of Peacemaker and directed 3, including the first episode. Gunn, Peter Safran, and John Cena serve as executive producers. Greg Mottola, Peter Sillette, and Althea Jones also direct, based on the characters from DC. Peacemaker is produced by Gunn's Troll Court Entertainment and the Safran Company in association with Warner Brothers Television. The 8-episode second season of Peacemaker from DC Studios and Warner Brothers Television debuts August 21st at 9 p.m. on HBO Max and on Crave TV here in Canada, followed by one new episode weekly till October 9th. A huge thanks, as always, to our friends at Crave TV Canada and by extension HBO Max for giving us the first 5 episodes of Peacemaker Season 2. So we will be talking about the show from the perspective of those first 5 episodes, spoiler free. Okay, all that's out of the way. Now let's start talking about this show, and I'd love to start by talking about these fantastic characters. And of course, we have to start with the character, Peacemaker himself, Chris Smith, played by John Cena. Darcy, I'm going to throw it to you first. How did you feel about John Cena's performance in these 5 episodes?
Well, I think I was talking about this with Kevin leading up to this season, and I was just saying, like, he has done what Ryan Reynolds is to Deadpool, in that I can picture no one else being Peacemaker other than John Cena. He nails Christopher Smith so much, that douchey, lovable attitude that is just like, he's a big kid with too much muscles and too many guns and doesn't understand where he is in life. And I love how we just pick up right where we left off almost and continue this wild adventure into a very troubled mind that you just grow to love over the more time you spend with him. It's great.
Yeah, this role for him continues to be my favorite thing he's ever done. And I think that's true for James Gunn. And I think that might even be true for John Cena himself. He just continues to shine as this character. And like you said, Darcy, he's so genuine, and you can tell that he's trying his best. He's trying to be better and better and better. And so much of what I've seen of him in interviews, I just see that in the character of Chris Smith, which is always fun to say because it sounds like Christmas. But which I think is intentional on James Gunn's part, or I guess it's a comic, whoever wrote the comic book, DC.
Yeah.
But no, I really, really love him in this role, and he's better. He's even better in this season than he was in the last one. And I'm so excited to see where his character goes.
Yeah. Like you guys are saying, he slips back into this role of Peacemaker like he never left it. It is so synonymous to who John Cena is. And I think that's sort of the thing that really works well for a lot of these superhero movie franchises is really strong casting, when there does become this sort of relationship between the actor and the character that feels sort of synonymous with one another. But what makes his performance stand out this season, in my opinion, is just how he balances the ridiculous with the vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, he's really going there. He's still bringing the comedy, but he's bringing a whole lot of heart. I think he's still delivering some over the top absurd comedy, and you know, he has this, he's flexing more of a rawness under it all. And I think even within the 5 episodes that we got, you really do feel what Chris is struggling with and how he's just trying to be seen. You know, he just wants to be seen. So I think Cena gives this character a lot of heart without losing any of the wild hilarity, the unhinged energy. It's just, you know, he cements why Peacemaker works so well. Yeah, I absolutely loved him just coming back into this role, because it really does feel like it there's such a strong relationship between him and Peacemaker. One person I really want to talk about, and then I'm going to throw it to you guys to bring up some of the other characters, is Jennifer Holland, who's coming back in such a big way, and her presence is felt immediately. I think she brings such emotion, such heart. There's just more strength to her role. Like, Amelia Harcourt in the first season was someone who was obviously very tough on the exterior, but there was something underneath that we hadn't really fully unraveled. And then I think in this season, we are unraveling that, but we are still seeing that wall that's there. And Jennifer just acts it flawlessly. Like, you know, she is one of the anchors to this season that are really going to hit home some of the themes about, you know, kind of taking your own future in your hands. And I think that that parallel between her character, between Amelia and Chris, is really interesting, and it's being explored in a really interesting way.
Yeah, I think there's one point she's described as toxic masculinity this season. And I never really thought of it that way before, but absolutely 100%. That is Amelia. And it's interesting because you mentioned Peacemaker. Chris is, you know, even more vulnerable this season, and he's letting himself be more vulnerable. And with her, she is spiraling. She is going through quite a lot. And so it is really interesting to see the trajectory for her character after what happened last season, how she's dealing with it. And I'm really intrigued to sort of see where they go with her. And I am happy that this season, I will say this season does feel like it's a little bit more showcasing her and Peacemaker and Economos, I think, more than maybe previous season with his character. But I feel like that's really where, so far, at least within the episodes we've seen, the focus has been. And I'm happy for it. I think it makes sense. And I think especially for how important she is within Chris's life, I think it's really intriguing to sort of see what they're bringing with her character this season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, she's knocking it out of the park. You guys said everything you could say about her performance this time. It's just watch it and you'll be in awe of what she can do with this character and where she can take it with just the littlest amount of effort, it seems. But again, I think all the 11th Street kids kind of bring it again this time around. I mean, they were great the first season, and this season we're just getting, again, stronger performances across the board. Like you mentioned Steve Agee. He is incredible as Economos. Again, we got him in a bit of Creature Commandos, which I love that cameo appearing, and the fact that that's canon, much like this is. I love to see how they're building this character and taking drawing those through lines, if you will, throughout the DCU.
The threads,
The threads, and like having these characters that, in no matter what animation, sound the same, act the same, feel the same. It goes a long way, and he's just building on this character so much with each time he brings him to the screen. So I love it.
Yeah, and we're getting, like I said, we're getting more of him. I think we're getting as much Economos this season as we maybe got Adrian last season, where it did feel like this season we're getting a little bit less of him. I think he's definitely, every time he shows up, he's a standout.
He's incredible.
He just wants to be a best friend and a good friend to Chris. But I think along with Economos, Tim Meadows as Agent Fleury is absolutely phenomenal. He is the hardest I'm laughing this season is when he's on screen and when he's talking, because he just rips on Economos so much in just kind of this very passive aggressive, very sort of peaceful way. But at the same time, you're like, that guy's such a dick, and it's so good.
It is so Tim Meadows, like the performance he's bringing. He's just being himself if he was a douchey agent, and I love it. Every time he's on screen, I'm laughing for something he's saying. This delivery of the most wild lines with the straightest face, and it's so good. He is a brilliant addition to this cast.
Yeah, he fits into the world pretty seamlessly, which is nice. But you know, given the characters we've talked about, and obviously we see all of the 11th Street kids in this season, to the point of what we're saying, that the focus has shifted a little bit, right? Like Adrian's in the background a little bit more. He's there. We've established who his character is, but now Economos can now come forward and we can tell a little bit more, you know, about his character, and, you know, learn more about Amelia at the same time. And I like when shows do that. It's not about trying to just, you know, shove as much as you can for every character to be there. I think everyone's going to get their time to shine. And I think this is just a reflection of some characters got their time to shine in for season one. Maybe now they're a little more background, but some other characters have now stepped forward, and now we get to see, you know, perspective from see the world from their angles. And I think that really works for the show in terms of giving more breadth to these characters. And it's just classic Gunn at the same time, you know, being able to recognize and identify the ensemble and understand the strengths of how each character is bringing something different to this overall story.
And I think it also speaks to how these characters have grown and changed over the first season, right? And the fact that we've got someone like Adebayo, Danielle Brooks, who has gone through some stuff, and the show still does a good job, even though I think she kind of, you know, like Vigilante, has been sort of pushed a little bit to the side.
Yeah, but you're right, they were season one. Exactly. They had their time.
That was a season one story. So, yeah. So having them here, but that's not to say that we still aren't getting some great moments with them. And I am intrigued to see sort of how they fit into what we haven't seen so far. But from what we do get of them, they're still fantastic characters and still really do help to carry the story forward.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more with that. I think that what I love about this season is that we are, again, moving the needle. We're evolving and, you know, talking about story. Let's move into that. Because this is coming off the heels of Superman. And it doesn't shy away from that. It is very much ingrained in this season, to the point of where even at the red carpet, James Gunn said, like, they had to push the digital release of Superman so that people would catch up for Peacemaker season two. So that's why we have Superman available for rent.
Yeah, renting, I think they joked at the red carpet premiere, like in front of the audience, saying like, yeah, so happy you've seen the prequel to Peacemaker season two, which was Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
but I think it is really smart the ways in which they are tying in some of those threads, like you guys had said, into this. And I think a lot of that has to do with like Frank Grillo with Rick Flagg Sr. Again, for sure. Even stuff going all the way back to the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And it is really cool, because I think I heard James Gunn saying on a red carpet interview that like anything you see in Peacemaker season two, whatever we've chosen to mention is canon. And so if that's the case, that just paints a really clear, concrete picture to say, cool, if it wasn't mentioned, it might be canon, it might not. A lot of stuff is mentioned, and it's always a nice little, as a geek, it's always a nice little pop whenever you sort of hear storylines. Oh, I know, you know, you're doing the meme, if you will, pointing at
the sure, yeah, doing the Leonardo and the Leonardo,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But you know, I'll just like start by saying I think what I love about this season is that, you know, at its core, the story for this season is really about Chris Smith trying to move beyond being defined as a villain. You know, he knows he's made bad decisions. He's trying to negotiate with that. He has a lot of, you know, post-traumatic stress from past events. And, you know, we've seen some of those, and we saw some of his past with his father. And I think across these first five episodes, we really see him, as I mentioned before, sort of desperate to be seen and accepted and understood and appreciated in a way. And I think the show in a lot of ways, again, as heartfelt and as focused and personal as that is, it does not lose any of the absurd, over the top silliness that you would come to know from Peacemaker. It's kept it tried and true to the brand of Peacemaker. And I think beneath all that chaos and comedy is this character journey that just feels surprisingly human. You know what I mean? Like, even again, coming off the heels of something like Superman that really did try to push the human part of Clark Kent and Superman, you know, this is kind of continuing that dialogue. And it really feels like this is going to be about identity, belonging, and the fight to prove you're more than the mistakes you've made in your past. And I think that's what I really like about what I've at least got from these first five episodes. And I'm excited to see how the final three episodes really wrap things up.
Yeah, you mentioned that absurdity. I think it's interesting, right? Because James Gunn has such a phenomenal way of mixing that heart. You think of a raccoon in a tree and how ridiculous that sounded to a lot of people who weren't familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy, and the way that he was able to work with those characters to bring them to a place where it got really dark with Rocket, but then it also got really heartfelt. And, you know, I think the opening of this season, it feels very dark and very upsetting. And then you see, let's just say you see Chris's quote unquote neighbor that he waves at, and immediately you're like, yep, this is a James Gunn thing. 100%, we're back. And it's fantastic just how funny he can make this. And I do think the story feels a little more streamlined this season than the first season. Obviously, the first season we had to set a lot of things up, and this season we don't have to set as much up. And in fact, we're able to just sort of flow and, as we said, carry over from other stuff within this updated DC canon. But I feel like we're, you know, I think some people might sort of look at that and sort of feel like there's something sort of missing. I really appreciated it. I like when James Gunn is sort of able to sort of kind of focus in, get to the point and follow the narrative that he's following. And I think the show has made better for it so far in these first five episodes.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that that first season too was also kind of the whole body snatcher plot. Like, who can you trust from Correct. These invaders yeah. type thing. And there was a very genre specific where these characters yeah. stuck in it. Whereas very this one true. Just feels, like you said, a very character-driven adventure where, while we mm-hmm. don't know what's happening, we're along for the ride along with these characters. It's not like there's some mystery afoot. It's a problem is very human and rooted, and you're immediately drawn to these characters for what they're going through. And then you want to see how they continue to, you know, take in all the new things coming, especially when you throw in a new dimension in the mix, and just how that leads to some really cool explorations of character. I love the way they're handling the multiverse with this. They're very upfront with it, and it feels like they're doing it better than Marvel already, which is weird to say because we haven't seen how they finished it. But they're not taking it as a massive be all exactly. end all plot point.
It's just exists
an avenue for storytelling, exactly. which is yeah. the way it is in the comics, and I think that's mm-hmm. why it's really refreshing to see it finally treated that way in a 100%. Comic show. So yeah. yeah, I'm loving the season story so far, and I again, the way they end each episode with a cliffhanger, they did that the first season, they're doing it again this season, and they are just as juicy and meaty, and you're just like, okay, you gotta come back for the next one right away, here we go. Oh, I gotta wait a week now, dang it. You're gonna want to watch it as soon as it comes out. It's so good.
Yeah, for sure. This will have that weekly dialogue, that conversation. People are really gonna enjoy it. But yeah, to that point of what you were saying, you know, there's two things there. You know, with season one, you know, obviously knowing in the back of his mind that this would probably play a part in the larger DCU universe, you know, he kind of focused more on building like the group of characters, and this body snatcher genre thing was just an easy sort of thing to kind of, you know, fill in the threat, if you will. Whereas like now, obviously with season two and this idea of opening up the DCU, he's leaning more into these avenues of, you know, multiversal elements to help draw out things that, you know, again, he's just going to explain and that they exist. They just exist, right? Like there's no yeah. need for over explanation with it. It is what it is. And I really do appreciate that. And for him to not necessarily feel the need to like have to justify and explain why this is all happening.
Well, and I also just, you know, I mentioned the idea of feeling more streamlined, and like we're all saying, I do think that the other thing that does feel a little different is a bit of the comedy. It still very much feels like James Gunn comedy, but it also feels streamlined. And one way that I think that they've done that is in season one, we would get sort of some of these jokes that might have been a little bit drawn out, might have been a little bit, but that is very much James Gunn humor. And what I like what they've done with this season is we still get that, but we get it in the after credits. So every episode this season has an after credits, like I think the first season did. But this time around, we're sort of getting to see what I think would have been the scene if James Gunn had, you know, fully his way about how long some of these jokes could go. But they've sort of done a really great service of sort of saying, no, stay till the end and you'll get a nice little fun sort of extended sequence that you can laugh at that is all 100% James Gunn humor. It's so good.
I mean, it just makes me think of that first season where John Cena just naming all the celebrities. Like, that was off the cuff improv, and that went on for so long. So it yeah. makes you think that a lot of these, and it feels like a lot of these scenes are just, again, that we're like, this is the setup. You guys just get to the punchline on your own time type thing. And then what we get is just, again, that extended pure core, like that, the jokes go on for too long, but I love when that happens. So I'm glad we get a taste of that, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say with the way that the stories are structured and the way the episodes are structured, you know, the first two episodes come in a bit longer than the other three that follow of the five. And where the fifth episode ends feels almost like a mid-season reset. So there's a specific reason as to why we as press, and I think James Gunn has actually talked about this on the red carpet with Brandon Davis, but there was a reason why press and others were only given five episodes, because things are going to get very interesting in the remaining three. And it's clear of that. And the way five kind of ends with this sort of like, it's just sort of like a mid-season reset to get you set for the next three episodes. It's exciting. So
all this to say, we are absolutely stoked for more Peacemaker and to get those last three episodes. Because we didn't get those last three episodes, we will not be giving a traditional rating score on this season. But I think it's safe to say we're really excited. We're loving what we're seeing. And everything is working for us. So instead, we will avoid a rating. And instead, I'd love to know any final thoughts that you guys have. And what's one episode that you're excited for fans to see? Darcy, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm surprised that I'm saying Eagly is probably one of my standout, you know, threads of this season.
Oh, absolutely. D. Bradley Baker, by the way.
I know. I love the guy, even if I don't know it's him at first. Any animal or droid is probably him or Alan Tudyk. Again, that's the toss-up you can get with these things. But yeah, no, Eagly has been fantastic. I find in the first season, the CG was a bit rough with him, but we're spending a bit more time with him, and I think they've put a bit more money into that. And again, his storyline is great. And I think, again, the culmination of that storyline is in that fifth episode. That might be the one I'm most excited for people to see, because it is just... It's such a way to take a story with an animal, I gotta say.
For sure. Nate, how about you?
Yeah, I think this season very much has the ability to potentially be my favorite of the two, just in with how good it is so far. Each episode, there hasn't felt like an episode like it felt like any time was wasted. Like every single moment felt like it was so well deserved. There's so many fun surprises and just moments where, you know, you can kind of anticipate it a little bit leading up to it, but then when it hits, it still very much hits. And I think for me, you know, I think the end of episode one is going to be something I'm really excited for people to see, and just to sort of see the reaction to it. And I mean, I also can't wait for episode six myself personally. That's the one I can't wait to see, Justin, especially after hearing that tease from James Gunn saying that six and eight are he says they're his favorite, and that you know, he can't wait for people to see. But no, yeah, I definitely am excited for the end of episode one to see how people react.
I'm with you. I think episode one is it's where it all begins, right? It sets the tone, it introduces everything, and I think once people see that, they're gonna be like, all right, I'm hooked. And that's how I felt after I saw episode one. So I'm very excited for everyone to see that on August 21st at 9 p.m. So that's when that's going to be dropping. But in regards to like what we got out of these five episodes, I think this season of Peacemaker proves that it's not afraid to get wild. There are some batshit crazy shit that happens in this season, and I think it's embracing its weirdness, and it all works. You know, James Gunn's is known for being able to balance everything. And then this, we got some chaos, some comedy, and definitely heart. And I think taking Chris Smith on a journey that's more than about just being a villain. It's about being seen and being accepted and being understood. I think this season just is really, really well paced and really well situated in understanding absurdity with madness. And I think it's really fun at the same time. All of these episodes, it's a total blast. It's proof that in a lot of ways, I feel like this season is kind of saying, you know, sometimes the best way to build something new in the sort of landscape of the DC universe is to just throw the rule book out and say, fuck it, you know, like just go all in. And, you know, especially when it's approaching things like the multiverse. And like you said, like Darcy, it's not this big grandeur thing. It's something that is just, it exists in this universe. And I think I'm very excited to see how this begins to evolve further into future projects. But let's get through the rest of Peacemaker season two, obviously. So let's hopefully, I would love it if they were just like, hey guys, here are the other three episodes for you to review. I'd be like, sure, let's go. Right. Best dimension ever. Awesome. Well, that is our spoiler-free review for Peacemaker season two. As I mentioned before, this is going to be debuting on HBO Max and on Crave TV here in Canada on August 21st at 9 PM with new episodes every week. until October 9th. If you enjoyed this episode, we hope you did. We hope you did. We got a lot of peace to throw around. And you know, we're making content. You see what I did there? I took the word and broke it into two words and made something fun. I don't really know what I'm doing here at this very moment. I'm trying to skit scat because I can't find the rest of my script.
Which Justin is the, is this the other Justin?
What this happened? Might be the other Justin that's not successful at anything. but we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, feel free to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to write into the to us, let us know your thoughts on Peacemaker season one, season two, once it starts to roll. Well, you can reach out to us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at GeekcentricYT, or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at wearegeekcentric. But keep in mind, we have a ton of other great episodes for you to enjoy, including our spoiler-free review for Neja 2, Freakier Friday, and the FX series Alien Earth. We also have some great interviews out now for you to enjoy, both on podcast feeds and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric, like our interview with Sydney Chandler and Alex Lothar from Alien Earth, as well as our interview with Alden Ehrenreich from Weapons. Both of those are available on YouTube and on podcast feeds for you to enjoy. We got a lot more coverage coming. We're amidst Fan Expo week, and then 2 weeks from that is TIFF. So
we're going to be, you know, Weapons, speaking
strap
of weapons,
in, boys, gonna
you
be
know
busy.
Those kids, how they run around in Weapons? That's going to be us running all around downtown Toronto in the next, next couple months.
Awesome. I think we should definitely do that. But yeah, so much more content to come. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you're listening to podcasts. That is it. Darcy, Nate, thank you so much for joining me for this spoiler-free review. And as we say,
love ya.
Laters.
Peace.
Maker.
I didn't know you guys were doing that.